That we've been dealing with for the last couple of months or so, we've been dealing with the subject of the afterlife. The afterlife. We kind of took a couple of breaks in between, but it's one of the most important messages that we should be talking about or should be dealing with, because what you do with your life here on earth determines where you spend eternity. What you do with your life here on earth determines where you spend eternity. Now, the interesting thing about speaking about the afterlife, we do understand that there are many people who have differences of opinions as to what happens to a person in the afterlife. And you notice that in the first series, Pastor Gary started dealing with the subject of heaven. And he wanted to deal with the misconceptions that people have about heaven and how do you get to heaven and what happens in heaven and so on and so forth. And that was such a powerful message. And I hope if you've never gotten a chance to listen to it, if you go back and listen to the videos, that will clear up a lot of things for us regarding heaven. The next message that he spoke on was a even more interesting one, which was on the subject of hell, right? And I think it was such a powerful message that he spoke on hell. You learned a lot more about hell than you probably thought or what you have been taught about hell. And most people, I know there are many people in the world who always say that when they go to hell, they're going to have one big party. I'm going to tell you, but according to the message that we've heard, you know that that's going to be a party of one, because there's not going to be a lot of people around you in that period. And if, when you go back and listen to the message, you will see exactly what Pastor Gary's talking about. And when you understand hell, you come to the conclusion in your mind that I don't want to go there. That's the number one conclusion you'll come to. The second conclusion that you'll come to is, I don't want any one of my family members or anyone that I know to go to this place. Because the descriptions that the Bible gives us about hell, when you truly understand it, you realize that if I love the people that I say that I love, I would never want them to go to this place. Amen? Amen. So it's a very interesting. So today, we're going to be dealing with the subject of what happens after we die. What happens after we die? Now, in order to set the scene for this message, we'll be speaking from the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. But before we get there, I want to show you a brief video for about 5 minutes, if you just bear with me, of what other people says about what happens when we die. Now, we do live in a world where there are so many different religions and so many different beliefs. So we wanted the church to kind of get an idea of what people out there are saying about what happens when we die and what people are saying and what the Bible says about what happens after we die.
What happens after we die? Tonight we explore the ultimate mystery with spiritual leaders from many faiths. Joining us, John McCarthy, evangelical Christian pastor of Grace Community Church in Southern California, and best-selling author and host of the global media ministry Grace to You. Father Michael Manning, Roman Catholic priest, host of the international program The Word in the World. Representing Judaism, Rabbi Marvin Heyer, the dean and founder of the Simon Wiesenthal Center. Muslim scholar Dr. Maher Hathout, a retired physician and senior advisor to the Muslim Public Affairs Council. Marianne Williamson, best-selling author and lecturer on spirituality. And Ellen Johnson, president of American Atheists. The Next World, next on Larry King Live. John MacArthur, what happens when you die?
Well, when you die, you go to one of two places, according to Scripture. You go out of the presence of God forever, or you go into the presence of God forever.
Depending?
depending upon your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is, according to the Bible, the only way to enter heaven.
So therefore, a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist will not go to heaven?
Yeah, Christian theology and the scripture says that only through faith in Jesus Christ.
And then when we say what happens? Do you go somewhere as a body?
No, your body stays. We go to the funeral, we see the body, it goes into the grave, it decays. Your spirit immediately goes either in the presence of God or out, waiting the final resurrection. There will be a resurrection of all bodies in the end, a resurrection unto life or a resurrection unto damnation.
It is, John MacArthur, is it not? A guess on your, an educated guess based on your scriptures, your reading, your faith. But you don't know. You don't know, do you? How can you know?
Because the Bible says so, and
You believe the Bible.
Well, I believe the Bible, but I believe the Bible can be defended. I believe through the centuries the Bible has stood the test of intense scrutiny, and it is the real and true revelation of God, and it speaks truly about life and death, and someone has been there and come back, and that's Jesus Christ.
How come only one?
How come only one what?
Person ever come back.
Well, that's because the design of leaving this world is to go into the eternal world. The only person who came from the eternal world into this world is Jesus Christ. There have been a few others, by the way. In fact, in the Old Testament, the prophets raised a few from the dead. In the New Testament, Jesus and the apostles raised a few from the dead. And at the death of Christ on the cross, the graves were open and some were raised. And that's indicative of the fact that there will be an actual physical resurrection to join with the spirits that are with God at death.
However, to Mr. MacArthur, the price for eternal life and life after death is obedience to church doctrine. So you must live a certain life in preparation for that life after death. That I totally reject. I am not going
so
to...
Do I.
Well, what do you think?
I reject
that
completely.
There is a way to get...
Hold it, Alan. What is...
Well, yeah...
You said you have to believe in Christ.
The only way to heaven... And at this point, I respectfully disagree with the rabbi. Nobody can live a righteous life. The Bible says that no one can obey the law of God.
No one's going to heaven.
So no one can go to heaven on their own merits or on their own works.
No,
I don't care how many good works they do. The New Testament is crystal clear on the fact
so
that by
a bad guy who believes in Christ, he's going to heaven. And
yeah.
A good guy who doesn't is going to heaven.
But when he truly believes...
That doesn't sound just.
But when he truly believes... Larry, we don't want justice.
Justice?
No, it sends everybody to hell. We need grace. We need forgiveness.
We need mercy.
Only those who ask. When you need grace, first of all, when you take an exam, not everybody has to get 100. It's preposterous to think that when you say righteous conduct, you mean perfect specimens. Human beings are not perfect specimens. In God's world, they will be accepted to eternity or eternal heaven if they pass the exam. What's a passing grade in heaven? I don't know. Maybe it's 67 and not 65. But the fact of the matter is, if you lived a decent life, that is credible. You don't have to be perfect.
Let me get a break. Come right back. I hope it's 51. We'll be right back.
All right, we'll stop it right here. Amen. I know it's a little bit of it. This video is actually a lot longer. We try to condense it a little bit, so you can get some of the viewpoints of the others. You'll see that one of the person that was speaking was an atheist. There's another one that was a Muslim guy. Another one was a Catholic priest. And some of the other ideas that they were saying on there as to what happens when a person die was there was also another belief in purgatory, and that after a person die, they go into this holding place and believers can pray them out of purgatory so that they can go into heaven. So those are some of the other things that they have been discussing on there. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk from the Bible. We're going to see from a story in the Bible as to what happened to people after they die. And with that, we're going to be reading from the book of Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we'll be reading from verse 19 all the way to the end. So if you follow me, I promise you we will get out of here on time today. I think Gary says to wrap up everything by 5 o'clock this afternoon. So if, did I say something funny? Oh, okay. Anyways, so join me. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It says, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was a laid at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores. Verse 21, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table, even the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22, the time came when the beggar died, and the angel carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from here. Verse 27, he answered, then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment. Verse 29, Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that an interesting story? You know, when I was a kid, there was a movie that came out that many of the young people loved to watch. And it was a movie called Final Destination. And Final Destination is a series. It has like probably about five or six different movies in it. And to be honest, it is the one movie that I could not watch. And the reason why I couldn't watch it was because it was a movie that dealt with death. And what it was young people who were destined to die. They were trying to find a way in which they could cheat death. And in Final Destination, they will go through all these different things to try to cheat death, only to find out that death will get them at any cost. So today we want to talk about what happens after we die. And the first thing I want us to understand is this, that death is certain. That death is certain. And death is the beginning of your final destination. Death is the beginning of your final destination. You know, a lot of people say that, you know what the number one cause of death is? Life. Because everyone who is alive at some point is going to die. Now here's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. It says this, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, judgment. So every single one of us at some point in our life is going to die, unless Christ comes and take us home to be with him in glory. Other than that, we're all destined to die. It's the one appointment that we will not miss. No matter how much we try, no matter what we do, at some point, we all are going to face that appointment. And that appointment is death. So the Bible is saying that death is certain. Now, how did death become certain? The reason why death is certain is because we are living in a fallen world. Now, most of you remember the story in Genesis when God put Adam and Eve in the garden and he told them, listen, I want you to enjoy this garden. We have everything that you need to eat, but there is a fruit and there's a tree over there. I don't even want you to touch it. And he says that the minute that you touch it, he says that you will certainly die. You will certainly die. And what happened? We remember the story, right? Adam and Eve went and they ate from the fruit of the tree. And the Bible says they experienced spiritual death. But because of that, it also caused them to die physically. And so throughout history, they have set the stage for mankind to die physically because we are living in a fallen world, a world that is full of sin. So we understand that death is certain. Now, here's the other thing about death that we need to understand. It is the result of us being disobedient. As I just said, God told Adam and Eve, I want you to eat everything, but this tree right here, I don't want you to touch it. Adam and Eve disobeyed. And because they disobeyed, guess what followed? Death. Death followed Adam and Eve from this point on. Now, here's the interesting thing, and I just mentioned it, that a person can die two ways. You can die physically, and you will die spiritually. Physically and spiritually. And we saw that that happened in the garden. Adam and Eve had the spiritual death when they disobeyed God, but eventually they died physically. And so one of the things that we're showing you from this is that death is going to come at some point or another. But the Bible says this, as we just read in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, just as people are destined to die once, and then after that, there is judgment. So Calvin, did you really answer the question? What happens after we die? So here we're reading the story about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man who had everything in the world that he could possibly dream of. And here was Lazarus who was poor, who had nothing. The rich man lived in luxury all his life. Lazarus was homeless. And he lived right next to the rich man's house. And every day this rich man passed by, guess what? He passed by Lazarus at his gate. And every time he's eating, Lazarus is sitting there thinking, can I have some of the food that happened? So what happened, the Bible says, is the inevitable happened. Both men died. And I believe that this is not really a parable. And the reason why it's not a parable is because of the specific names and places and the examples that Jesus gave. He was specific about this. There was a rich man, there was Lazarus, and then he also said that there was Father Abraham. So he says that both of them died. And look at verse number 22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Now look at verse 23, and I think this is interesting because this tells you specifically what happens after we die. It said, in Hades, where he was tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. You see the difference? Both men died. For the rich man, there was a funeral. There was nothing mentioned of the poor man. Why? Chances are, they didn't even have a funeral for him. He was probably just thrown out and burned. But the Bible says that he was carried into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man woke up in Hades. You see the difference? So what really happens when you die? When you die, one of the things that happen is your soul gets separated from your body. And we're seeing it right here in the text. Look, both men died, but they both woke up somewhere else. Because the rich man was buried, and now the Bible is saying that he is in torment. So that means that his body didn't go where he woke up in. So let me explain a little bit more about that now. So the question to you is this: what then is the soul? And the soul, from a biblical point of view, is this: the immaterial part of man. It is the immaterial part of man. Now, throughout the scriptures, you will see the word soul and you will see the word spirit used interchangeably. Now, I'm going to say some things that may rub some of you a little bit differently because of some of the things that we've been taught. You see, all of us have been taught throughout life that mankind is made up of three things: a body, soul, and a spirit. But if you really pay close attention to this text, and to what Jesus teaches in his teachings, you will find that oftentimes when the Bible uses the word spirit and soul, it's really meaning the same thing. All right? So you notice what happened here. Lazarus died, the rich man died, and their soul ended up in eternity. It didn't say anything about their spirit. It didn't say that there were different compartments that went. It said that both men, their soul ended up in eternity. They woke up in eternity. That's pretty much what happened to both of them. So after death, our soul separates from our body. It is the part of us that lives after our bodies die. Now, here's the interesting thing. Our souls was originally united with our body at the beginning of creation. Now, here's this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, listen to what the Lord says. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And what did the Bible say after that? And the man became a living soul. You see that? God breathed into dust, and the dust became alive. And the Bible says that he became a living being, a living soul. So your soul is that part of you that controls your thinking, your will, your behaviors. And that part of you is very much alive after we exit this body. And we're seeing the evidence right here in the text, because both the rich man died, Lazarus died, and all of a sudden, both the men woke up in eternity. Now, the word soul is from the Hebrew word nefesh, which means living being. So really, your soul is the part of you that is more alive than anything else. And one thing that happens is that soul is eventually going to spend eternity somewhere. And this is the thing that we're seeing right here. Now, here is the next thing that happens after you die. So the first thing we understand is that your body and your soul separates after you die. And we understand that death is the beginning of your final destination. Now, here's the thing. After death, our souls experience a temporary placement. This is what most theologians call an intermediate state. So when you die, your soul is separated from your body. And after your soul is separated from your body, now you go into a temporary state to where your soul either rests or your soul lives in torment. In the Bible, it describes it as a place called Hades. If you notice here in verse number 23, it says, in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham afar away. Now, here's the interesting thing here that we need to understand. Hades has two compartments. Hades have two compartments. One compartment is where the rich man ended up in torment and in torture. The second compartment of Hades is where you will find Abraham's bosom. Because the rich man, remember, the Bible says he was in Hades when he woke up. And when he woke up in Hades, he is now looking afar off and he's seeing Abraham. And here he is having a conversation with Abraham about Lazarus, who he didn't care one bit about when he was alive on earth. But in eternity, he started caring, didn't he? And he wasn't really caring about Lazarus. He still cared about himself. Because he wanted Lazarus to come down and to go up there and to help him. So it says here, in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham afar off. Now let me explain a little bit here about Hades. Hades is a Greek word which means the same thing as the word Sheol that we found in the Old Testament. Sheol is the Old Testament Hebrew word, and Hades is the Greek word, and it means a holden place. So what happens after you die, your soul gets separated from your body, and you now go into a temporary holding place to where you're awaiting the resurrection. And the resurrection is one day when Jesus Christ is going to come, and he is going to reunite our bodies with our soul. And then, for those of us who are believers, and those of us who have put our trust and our faith and our confidence in him, we will go with him. And for those of us who don't, then the Bible says that we will go into another place. And Pastor Gary spoke to you about that when he spoke about hell. Now, oftentimes in scriptures, you will hear when it mentions the word Hades, more references are made to it about hell, but most people don't realize that there is the two compartments of it. The lower part is where they consider it, the part where the rich man is, which is a place of torment. Now, here's the thing. When you are a believer, God will not allow your soul to be in torment. And that is why when Lazarus died, the Bible says that he was carried into Abraham's bosom. So what is Abraham's bosom? Abraham's bosom, and bosom in the New Testament, means a place of rest, a place of bliss, and a place where you can recline and dine. So oftentimes, when they speak about bosom, it will be when they're around a table where they're having a feast, and they're all sitting there together, and they're enjoying a meal together, and they're being in happiness. It's a joyful time. So here's what the Bible is saying. When a believer dies, he is now carried into that position to where now he's in that temporary holding place in Abraham's bosom. This is why Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he is speaking about believers. But here you find the two things that happens. One is separated and going into Abraham's bosom, and the other person is separated and into a temporary holding place called hell, or the lower parts of hell, where he is now going to await judgment. And this is exactly what happened here. So in Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham afar off away with Lazarus by his side. Now, and Pastor Gary made mention of this when he spoke about Hades and hell in his message earlier. Here's the thing that we need to understand about Hades. Hades is not hell. And I just mentioned hell a while ago, but that Hades is not hell. Hell is a place called Gehenna. Hades is technically not hell, or what is known as the lake of fire. That place is called Gehenna. It's a Greek word borrowed from the Hebrew language. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 43 to 44, if you ever get a chance to read it, Jesus spoke of hell. And whenever Jesus is speaking of hell in that term, he was speaking about Gehenna. Now, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Valley of Hinnom, or Hinnom, is a place outside of Jerusalem walls, desecrated by Moloch worship and human sacrifices. It was also a garbage dump where rubbish and refuse were burned. The smoldering fires and festering worms of the Valley of Hinnom made it a graphic and effective picture of the fate of the damned. This place is also called the Lake of Fire in Revelation. So they had this little place that they had, the Valley of Hinnom, that was outside of Jerusalem. And most theologians believe that when Lazarus died, this was where they placed him to be burned, to be thrown out. Isn't that interesting? That he was placed in a place that we would consider hell, but he woke up in the bosom of Abraham. The rich man was buried, had a wonderful funeral, but he woke up in a place of everlasting torture. And he stood there awaiting his final resting place. So what happens after we die? Number one, our body separates from our soul. Our soul separates from our body. Number two, after death, our soul experiences a temporary holding place in Hades, awaiting our final destination. Now, during that temporarily resting place. It is the beginning of judgment. So if you are an unbeliever, you are, it's kind of like being in a jail cell. You know, when someone commit a crime, one of the things that they do is they take that person and they put them where? In jail. And what they do is they wait for the time when you will have a trial. And that trial at some point is going to come. Now, when the trial comes, the trial is to prove whether or not you were guilty or innocent, right? But here's the thing, guys. When you do die, you immediately go into eternity. So that means that if you were a person of faith who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you end up in Abraham's bosom. If you were a person who were not of faith, the Bible says that you're going to end up into a place where there's going to be everlasting torment. The rich man was in torment, in agony, begging just for a little tip of water to touch his tongue. Now, who would want to end up in a place like that? Now, how did the rich man end up there? He ended up there because of the choices that he had made. The choices that you make will determine where you end up in eternity. The choices that you make here on earth is going to determine where you and I end up in eternity. Now, here is one of the interesting things, and I'm going to close in about 2 minutes here. When the righteous die, they are said to be in God's presence, and we said that to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord. When the unrighteous die, they end up into a place where there is everlasting torment. Here's the issue now. When a person dies, and when they go into these one of these two places, guess what happens? There is a great divide. So no one can cross over on the other side. And this is why when the rich man was asking Abraham, send Lazarus just to tip his finger into some water and touch my tongue. What did Abraham say? I'm sorry, son, but there is a great divide. And even if we wanted to, we couldn't do it. Here is the issue here. The minute you die, you are fully conscious and aware. The rich man was in hell, and he was fully aware of his surrounding. Not only was he fully aware of his surrounding, he had all of his memories together. Because he remembered Lazarus. Now, can you imagine how tormenting that could be? To know that you are in a place where you're going to be tortured for the rest of your life, tormented for the rest of your life, and all you can remember is all the wicked things that you have done. And all the people that you have mistreated. And they're there enjoying life while you're able to watch it. If that is not torment, I don't know what is. And so this is exactly what is here happening to the rich man. One of the other things that happens after a person dies is this. You lose the ability to choose. This is very important. The only time that we have choice is here on earth. After we die, we cannot choose anymore. Everything is now chosen for us. You see this? The rich man didn't choose to end up in the place that he ended up in. Yes, he did from what he did on earth. But guess what happened? He woke up there. Because of the choices that he made on earth. Don't you think that if he had a choice to get out of there, he would have tried it? But he realized that he is in this place and choices are taken away from him. There is a day coming when all the choices that you and I make when we're here on this planet is going to be taken away. And what is important is what you do now with the choices that you have. Isn't that interesting? So the question is, so understanding that when I die, first I understand that death is imminent. We all are going to die. It's certain. I understand that when I die, my soul is going to be separated from my body. I also understand that when I die, I'm going to go one of two places. I'm either going to go into a place of comfort, or I'm going to end up in a place of torment. The question is, what do I do? Why is this important? Why do I need to know this? The reason why this particular passage is important is so that you and I can start preparing for our final destination. You and I need to make sure that we are prepared for where we're going to spend eternity. I met with our brother Lindell the other day, and he asked a very important question to me. He says, you know, we like to sit down with some of the people that we know, and we like to go over some options with them and talk about some of the things that will happen later on in life, or what will you do when you die and things like that. And, you know, it brought up those words that were just a little bit uncomfortable. And after that, I started thinking, and I started realizing, you know, we make all these plans about what we do when we're dying, or when we are going to die, and who's going to get what, and how we expect things to go. But most of us never make plans for what happens after we die. And it is after we die that is probably going to be the most important, because that determines where you're going to spend eternity. So the question is, what choices are you making today that are going to affect where you spend eternity? Because how you live your life here on earth determines where you spend eternity. You can spend it either one of two places, with God, or you can spend it without God. So after we die, our soul goes to one of two places, a place of comfort or a place of torment. But the choice is yours to make here. Because after you die, guess what? It is too late. Because the choices will be taken away from you. This is one of the reasons why, as believers, we don't believe in a place called purgatory. We don't believe, from a biblical understanding, that a person can be prayed out of eternity. Because once you die, that is it. The Hebrew, the verse in Hebrew says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, judgment. And then we will be awaiting the resurrection of Jesus. Come in to reunite our soul and our bodies together, and to take us to our final resting place. I pray that this morning, this message make you feel disturbed. I pray that this message this morning make you have a little more compassion. And I want you to think about yourself, number one. Do I want to spend eternity in a place of everlasting torment? And you remember when Pastor Gary went over hell, he gave you the description of what's going to happen in hell. And if I can just read one quick verse and close it off so you can understand what the Bible says about hell. It says, and I saw the dead. This is from Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 through 15. This is the final resting place. This is the final destination. Listen to what it says. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before the throne, and books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done and recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. Now, this particular passage here is really talking about unbelievers, people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. because the believers, from we understand in 1 Thessalonians, that the Lord is going to appear with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those that are on the earth at that time will also rise with them, and we will go to meet with the Lord in the air. So we will already be with Jesus. Those of us who have believed and put our trust and our confidence in Jesus, we would have already been there. But here now, the Bible is talking about the final destination for those who do not know Christ. And the final destination, it says, is going to be in Gehenna, the lake of fire, where you will be tormented forever and ever and ever. Most of you have friends. Most of you have families. This is not the place that you want your friends or your families. So what we're saying is, make the choice today to, number one, trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, so you will not end up in this place. The second thing we're saying is, if you have any family members, if you have any friends that you care about, this will be the time to start speaking to them about Jesus so that they themselves will never end up in a place like this. Because once you end up in there, you will be fully aware, however, you will not have the opportunity to choose. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, for understanding about some of the things that happens when we die. As believers, we love what Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with you. And we know that when us as believers die, we will be with you, Lord God, and be with you in glory. But Father God, our heart goes out to those that don't know you. Because we know, Lord God, that it would be a shame and a tragedy to die without ever knowing you. Because the punishment for our sins is going to lead us in a place called hell, to where there is no repentance, there is no deliverance, and we will be in torment for all eternity. Father, we pray that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, that they will never walk out of here without making it right with you today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.